So if you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For our thoughts this morning. When the Apostle Paul's second journey to Thessalonica, he started the work there. And anyways, Book of Thessalonians is a wonderful book. Chapter 4 is a wonderful chapter because it is the greatest chapter written concerning the rapture. I hope everybody's ready for the rapture. And I hope everybody understands the difference between the rapture and the day of the Lord. Because there's a lot of folks that don't understand that. So this morning I'm going to try to teach you, the Lord will allow me to. There's a difference. So with that said, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Let's pray. Father, we love you and praise you. And again, I thank you for this opportunity, this privilege and honor of being able to stand before your congregation and to share your holy word. Give me the words to say this morning that I might preach with boldness and authority, and just bring to my mind those things that I've studied and you've laid upon my heart to speak this morning. And Father, may your people be encouraged. May we learn from your word, your truth. Lord, if there's one here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, Father, our prayer and heart's desire is they'll come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Thank you for the salvation of one soul yesterday. Thank you for using your servant, Brother Gerald. And thank you for those others that he shared the gospel with. And Father, there's many people out there that need you. Lord, just help us to be about your business as we see that day approaching that you call us home to be with you. Be the sick and the afflicted. Be the remainder of the service. May everything said and done honor and glorify you, for it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Quiet, be seated, please. How many of you agree with me that the King's coming? He's coming. The question is, are you going? If you know the Savior, you're going. If you don't know the Savior, you're staying. And I'm going to tell you, you don't want to stay. You don't want to be left behind. How many of you read those books, Left Behind and all of that? Now, y'all understand there was some truth to those stories, but that was also fiction too. Listen, I've run into several folks that have read them books, and they, thus saith the Lord, it's a book. Well, a preacher wrote it. Hey, just because somebody writes a book and is a preacher, that doesn't mean it's all fact. That's why you need this. Amen. But in Paul again, in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he He deals with the rapture, and oh my goodness, it's going to happen. Those of us that die in the Lord, we're going to go up and meet Him in the clouds. Those of us that are alive and remain, we're going to meet Him in the clouds. Now, the Thessalonians, Paul preached the imminency of Christ's return. What that means is, it's not a fancy word, it just means that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any time. In fact, as far as prophecy concerning, it's all been done. Listen, He could come back at any moment. So, they were concerned though. They thought, well, what about our loved ones that have died? Are they going to miss the rapture? Well, Paul set them straight and taught them. No, but they're like the average Baptist. Amen. You have to go over it and over it and over it before they get it. And I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty or anything. Listen, I'm the same way. Hey, the Lord has to show me many times the same thing over and over till I finally comprehend what He's trying to tell me. But they were worried and they were mixed up about the rapture and the day of the Lord. And you know, again, as I said earlier in my introduction, there's so many people that are messed up when it comes to those two. They don't see that there's a difference. You see, the rapture is when the church is called home to be with the Lord. We meet Him in the clouds. But the day of the Lord is the tribulation. It's when He pours out His wrath on those left behind. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, then the second coming of Christ takes place. And Satan and the world will be judged, and Christ will begin His earthly reign during the millennial. That's the chronological order of those things. But people don't recognize when they hear the day of the Lord. And let me just say this, and I'm not doing this to impress you, but the day of the Lord is mentioned 19 times just in the Old Testament alone. And it's talking about tribulation, when the wrath of God is poured out. And even in the New Testament, it's mentioned four times. Let's go to 2 Peter real quick, just so you get an idea that I'm not pulling your leg. 2 Peter is one of four passages mentioned in the New Testament about the day of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Folks, the day of the Lord is when He pours His wrath out on those that are left behind, that didn't trust Jesus as their Savior. That's the day of the Lord. Now let's go back and we'll get started. But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Why? Because He had already covered it. That's why He said I don't have to write to you again. I've covered it. And in fact, you can go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the first five verses will verify that. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's speaking of the Antichrist, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he's already told them and taught them, but yet they're like us. It takes a little bit for it to sink in. So that's why he's writing in the fifth chapter. He says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You know, everybody's looking for signs, especially today. And beloved, you know, he says, no, that it's at the very door. You see these things, and he's given us the word of God. Over in Matthew, Jesus said, as in the day of Noah. It'll be just like that. Feasting, drinking, and giving in marriage. Well, what that signifies is nobody's got their mind on Jesus coming back. They're just doing their own thing. They're not even giving thought to the rapture. But the word times, if I'm not mistaken, you can help me, brother, because you're a lot better at Greek than I am. But the word times in the Greek is chronos. And what it means is chronological. It means a time. And people are always asking, is it time? Is he going to come back? But listen to me. The Bible clearly states that no man knows the day or the hour. Even though there's some out there that'll try to put a date, you're wasting your time. Because the only one that knows that day and that hour will be God the Father, and he will say to the Son, it's time. Gabriel will get up and blow the trumpet then. Amen. The trump of God's going to sound, and then the dead in Christ will rise. And then we which are alive and remain will be called to meet him in the air, and so shall we, I love this, ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. I want to tell you, those words are comforting to the child of God. There's times you get down, you get depressed. You say, Christians can get depressed? You're human, ain't you? You can get depressed, you can get down. But I'm here to tell you, you can open up God's word and you can go to this passage, and I'm here to tell you it brings the most comforting words there are to us that know the Lord. When you're doing a funeral, and I've used that text, oh, I can't tell you over the years how many times I've used that text. And I've had them come up and say, oh, such a comfort, God's word, at a time like this. Because it is. But other times, and the seasons. Seasons in the Greek is kairos, I think it is. And it means era or season. And he says, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now listen, you say, well, wait a second. If the day of the Lord is the Lord's wrath, we should know. Well, no, you won't. You see, do you know when the rapture is going to take place? No, but we know it's going to take place. It's not a myth. Amen. It's not a, oh, I hope it happens. Listen to me. The rapture is going to take place. The Lord's coming back for his church. Understand, it's not a myth. It's a reality. Why? And how do I know? Because God said so. And he can't lie. But notice what it says. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Did you notice? Peace, safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman and child. And notice those last four words. They shall not escape. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to the believers? The brethren? No, he's talking about those that have rejected Jesus Christ and that have not come to him for salvation. You see, there are those that don't understand that one day God will pour out his wrath. And I'll go ahead and say it, most of them don't care anyway. But God's still going to judge them, and that's what his wrath is, his judgment. And even though they're not looking to God, they're not looking to the light of Christ, they're only looking to this world and what they can get out of it, that doesn't change the fact that one day, thus saith the Lord, the day of the Lord is coming. Amen? Now, notice, they shall not escape. I had some people tell me, what's going to happen is, yes, we have to give an account to the Lord. And yes, we're going to be put in a lake of fire for a little while, but we're just going to be there a little while. God's going to pull us all out and give us a second chance. No, that's kind of like purgatory. And the Bible doesn't mention no such of a thing. No such of a thing. Listen, you're either saved and going to heaven, or you're lost and you're going to hell. And both of those places, heaven and hell, are for eternity. For eternity. Now notice, but ye, notice who he's talking to. He's talking to the Thessalonian believers. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Because we have the written word of God. The apostle Paul said and taught the Thessalonians about these very things that were going to take place. And you and I are without excuse because we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that teaches us that these things are going to take place. We're brethren. Notice, ye are all the children of what? Light, those that are saved. And the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And again, do you see the divide? Children of light, children of darkness. Saved, lost. Notice. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now, real quick. Let us not sleep as do others. I'll just go ahead and say it. The world is sawing logs. They are asleep, spiritually speaking. They're not looking for the Lord's return. They're not waiting for the Lord's return. They think this old world is going to just keep on going on as it always has. And beloved, I'm here to tell you they're asleep spiritually. And we as brethren and believers have a responsibility to show them the light and try our best to wake them up. Amen? Before it's eternally too late. Now, notice that word. Notice he says, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Oh, let us not have a drink of wine or a Budweiser. That's not what he's talking about being sober there. He's talking about let us be sober. What? Alert! Wide awake! Watching! Staying on guard because the Lord could come back as a thief in the night. Notice what he says. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. But they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Now who's he describing there? Lost folk. Look at the next verse. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, where has Paul spoken about the armor of God before? Well, Ephesians chapter 6. He talked about putting on the whole armor of God, and he mentions these things. And we as believers, during this time waiting for the Lord to call us home, we still need to have our armor on. We still need to protect ourselves. Look at what he says. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. And back then, they had to have a breastplate, the soldiers, because it protected the heart. Listen, you get stabbed in the heart, see ya. And beloved, you and I as believers need to protect this heart. You see, this old heart can lead you down the wrong pathway. And that's why it's important that as a believer, as we await the Lord's return, we protect this heart from what? Worldliness and things of the world. Lust. Drunkenness. And going down the line. We must protect ourselves. And then, of course, and love. Well, Brother Bill read before we got in our worship service. I call it the love chapter. That's 1 Corinthians 13, but also 1 John chapter 4. But notice, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why do we need a helmet? Why does a soldier need a helmet? Because it's where the brain is. Listen, you cut the head off, you're in a bad way. Amen? You can't think or do. But listen to me. Where does the devil like to attack you? The heart and the head, the mind. And that's why we need that helmet of salvation. And what I want to encourage you is always remember that you are a born-again child of God. Those of you that have placed your faith in His saving work on the cross, always remember that. You belong to Him. And guard yourself. Because the devil's going to accuse you. Nope, you're not saved. If you were saved, you wouldn't have thought that thought. If you were saved, you wouldn't have went over there. You wouldn't have nothing to do with them people if you were saved. Folks, listen to me. Jesus never passed anyone by. In fact, He was accused of being a friend of sinners and a wine bibber. He was accused. I hope people will say, Brother John was a friend of sinners. Because listen, that's what I was before I met the Savior. And that's what you were. Now notice what he says here. I want you to get this. I'm going to show you something. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. And by the way, with that hope of salvation, before I go any further, I got to say this. That hope of salvation is talking about, listen, be mindful. He's coming back for you and me. He's coming back. He's promised. But look at the next verse. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me and listen good. The Lord's church will not go through the tribulation. I am a premillennial. Thank you. Say that fast three times. Anyways, I believe with all of my heart we're out of here. And the church will not face the tribulation. There are those that teach a mid-trib and a post-trib. But listen to me, they ought to read their Bibles. Understand, He has not allowed He will not allow His church to go through it. He says He's delivered us from the wrath to come. Beloved, if He said it, isn't that good enough? And I'll even go one better. I'll show you something. He says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation to our Lord Jesus Christ, by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's correct. He wants us to be saved. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now understand this. Don't get this twisted. Because a lot of people will take that verse and they'll twist it. Who died for us? Who died for us? Christ on the cross. That whether we wake or alive or sleep, we should live together with Him. And that word sleep, when you think of that word, you say, oh, He's talking about those that die. No. Listen to me. This word sleep is different from the word sleep in 1 Thessalonians 4. He's talking about this. Those that backslide. He's talking about the eternal security of the believer. Those that are saved. Whether we're awake or asleep or backslidden. Notice what he says. We should live together with him. Listen, you can't lose your salvation. Dear Lord, I wouldn't want to stand before you. If I thought you could lose your salvation before you got out the doors, why would I even bother? No, once you come to the saving knowledge of Christ and you receive him into your heart, he saves you forever. You never have to worry about losing it. And by the way, you know why you don't have to worry about losing it? Because it ain't yours to begin with. He gave it to you. And he ain't going to take it away from you. He's not an Indian giver. Amen? It drives me nuts. Some folks, they just don't get it. So you got to keep on teaching, right? What was one of the qualifications, brother? Apt to teach? I don't know. I'm not much of a teacher, I guess. Wherefore, verse 11, comfort yourselves together. Comfort ourselves. How? Hey, Brother Ed, Jesus is coming back. As bad as it's getting, he's coming back. That's how we comfort ourselves. By encouraging one another that, hey, it looks gloom and doomy now, but listen, he is coming. Notice, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Hey, Brother Steve, I know you're having a hard time. But brother, hey, victory's been won. We're going home. Be encouraged. It was done. It's already won. And you edify. You build each other up. Yeah, brother, hey, you can take another step. You can keep going. Don't give up. It's going to be okay. Because he's coming again. And then notice what he says. Even as also you do. You see, the Thessalonians already knew. And they were doing great things. That was a great church. But the problem was, they just didn't quite comprehend the difference between the rapture and the day of the Lord. And again, the day of the Lord is when he pours out his wrath during the tribulation. And by the way, the tribulation cannot take place until the church is raptured out. We got to be gone. And then the Antichrist will come in on the scene. He's just like it said. He said there would be peace. But then sudden destruction. When the Antichrist takes the reins, all those left behind, oh, he's going to be a miracle worker. And the world is going to fall for his hooey-fooey. Amen? But then, the midway point of the tribulation, that's 7 years. In 3.5 years, he will go into the temple and desecrate it. The Bible calls it the abomination of desolation, and he will declare himself God. And at that time, the Jews are going to get out of that place. Amen? Because they know better. But he will sign a treaty with them for that 3.5 years. And everything, like I say, will just be real smooth. Peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. But you and I that know the Lord as our personal Savior, we have nothing to fear. We're gone. We're with the Lord. Now I'm going to close by asking you this. I have to. Who do you stand with the Lord? Are you saved? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we know his return is imminent. He could come at any moment. Do you understand and you know beyond a shadow of doubt that if that trumpet sounds and we're called up, you're going to be in that number? Or is there a doubt? You're not sure. I would want to make sure right here and right now, because he could come back. Before we say the last amen and out the door, he could come. Are you ready? And listen to me, sinner friend, you've never professed Christ as your Savior. You need to be saved, because if you don't, then this great day of the Lord is something you're going to experience. The Lord is literally going to pour out his wrath on you and this world. And you know why? Because they rejected God's only begotten Son. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? Either you are his or you're not. If you're not, here's the good news. You can be. All you have to do is come and ask him into your heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Best I know how, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Be my Savior. That's how simple it is. And if you mean it with all your heart, believe me, he means to save you. And forever you'll be his child. You'll be a child of the light, and you won't have to worry about the tribulation and being left behind. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Would you stand with me, please?